So he should be open to Romans chapters 8. And because you're there, let's start in chapter 7, okay? Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now here we have Paul frustrated at the end of himself, and by the grace of God, Jesus Christ is there to deliver him. Verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Here is a proclamation, a declaration that we are never now condemned to live by the flesh's control or power, but now we can live in newness of life through the Holy Spirit as we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you understand the first four verses of Romans chapter 8, then the next seven or eight verses are going to really be easy to understand, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, I wanted to read the whole passage because as you dissect it, it's, I think, oftentimes easier to understand the details if you can at least see a little bit of the outline. So I've pretty much outlined this with first four verses and then from 5 to 11. But necessity of this passage is because Paul has gotten to the end of himself, and Pastor Sean did an excellent job last night of explaining the end of Romans 7. He is utterly frustrated with his Christian walk, and he calls out to the Lord. Now, the normal Christian life should be a walk with God by faith in your new position in Christ, and you're living by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're communicating with God. You're enjoying His Word. There's a connection and a outflow in your life. This should be the norm. But oftentimes it isn't. Amen? We struggle. We're living in a world that is anti-Jesus Christ, caustic against anyone who raises their hand, who takes a stand for Him, and our flesh gravitates towards the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Even though God, by His amazing grace, the Christian life is a grace life, never thought up by human mind. It had to be revealed to us by God. All religions are law-based, but the grace of God has come to us and enabled us not only to call ourselves Christian and know we're going to heaven because we're justified, but also we have sufficient grace to live every single moment of our lives in victory with our Savior Jesus Christ. So it's never a failure on God's part. Oftentimes it's a failure on my part to understand it, and then there's a progressive maturity in order to practice it. I have struggled with both of those. I can remember the day when I came to an understanding of my position in Christ. It freed me. All my youth, I had been condemned for actions, words, and never making a standard. When I found out that I was totally accepted in Jesus Christ, He loved me who I was and where I was and for who I was, I could step out by faith and just be Scott Russell Johnson. Now that was freedom for me. Now to learn to practice that on a consistent basis, that takes time. I've had these diagrams for years, but if you go back to them, you can reference them and understand, okay, this is the dynamic that is happening within my soul and with this world system that I now live in. And as I'm interacting with my God, I'm giving thanks to Him. I'm living by faith in Him. I'm reckoning myself dead. I'm admitting I'm sinning. When I'm aware of that, He's restoring me back into fellowship. I have this dynamic that's going in my soul. But unfortunately, that sin nature is there every moment. It's an insidious, negative force in me that is against me. The only victory is Jesus Christ. Then the world system knows what that sin nature is. So psychology, advertising, all these things are against me. And how am I going to have victory? Behind this whole thing is Satan. And he knows how we function. So he baits us. What was Jesus Christ's victory? Is it now written, man shall not live by bread alone? He went back to the principles of the Word of God. And that's our victory too. Now in the last few messages we've had here, introduced the law. And the law will condemn us every time we try and live a do's and don'ts system. You can make up your own. You can have a church. There's organizations and denominations that have so strict rules and regulations, they'll boot you out for not dressing right or cutting your hair wrong or so forth. But the system is wrong. We can't put ourselves under a law system. So what's the victory? I'm starting with the victory today, folks. The victory is the cross. That glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that not only justifies us, but sanctifies us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the sin nature victory is because of the cross and our position in Christ. Victory over the world system. We're dead to that world system. Galatians 6:14. Satan has no more authority over us. Hallelujah. And the law? No, we're not under the law system. Now, God has commands throughout the New Testament. He has standards. He has imperatives for us to follow. But it's not a system. It's a relationship with our Savior, our risen Savior. So here is the victory, right here. And what do we call out when we get to Romans 8:1? Freedom! We are free in Christ. Unbelievably free. Incredibly free, indescribably free, until you get to Paul in his scientific, analytical mind, and he goes right through and he shows us through Romans 6, 7, 8, the end of 5, our position in Christ, our Adamic nature, we are no longer even associated with that. The old man is rendered inoperative. So, when we get down to the basics, we're looking here at chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Is this justification or is this sanctification? Everyone who's been here for the last few days should say, this is sanctification. Amen? Now, justification is how you live the Christian life. you live it out of that. You have to know you're justified first. You'll never grow spiritually until you have assurance of your salvation. Because you're on the treadmill and you're trying to become justified. That's the whole message of Galatians. That's the battle in Acts chapter 15. It has to be the new life in Christ or you will never grow truly in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I found this illustration. I thought this was pretty appropriate. The end of 7, sin nature is beating up on the new nature. It's a knockout battle. He's lost. Who shall deliver me from this body of death dominated by the sin nature? He's on the mat. He's calling out, Uncle. Who shall deliver me? It's a full Nelson, whatever lock he's in, you wrestlers. Who? Who shall deliver me? That was emphasized. Excellent. Who? It's not what. It's not how. It's who. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, it's interesting. This is Tom Constable quoted this, and I'll just read from his notes. Paul reaffirmed justification as the indispensable, listen, basis for sanctification. You've got to have that justification down. So at the end of chapter 5, justification is should be so clear as you're going through Romans chapter 5. A Christian must believe that he or she has permanent acceptance with God before that one will grow much in grace and godliness. This chapter, Romans 8, contains the greatest concentration of references to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. An average of one reference almost every two verses. So far in Romans 1 through 8. Paul, 1 through 7. Paul has only referred to the Holy Spirit once in 5:5, but in this chapter he mentions him 21 times. Now some believe in 7, it's mentioned the Holy Spirit. But the point is that now we focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit when we get to Romans chapter 8. That's where the freedom is found. So the ministries of the Holy Spirit, we have been taught well over this pulpit over the many years that I've been here. Before salvation, he's restraining evil. He's reproving the world, convicting them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. At salvation, he regenerates us, he indwells us, he baptizes us, he seals us, he gifts us. It's a supernatural birth. Kapow! We are born again, we're regenerated, and the Spirit of God is directly involved with our new life in Christ. Now, after salvation, once we're born again, the Holy Spirit is filling us when we're living by faith in the Son of God. He's teaching us and illuminating us, enabling, convicting, transforming, comforting, and producing fruit in our lives. And so when we get here to Romans chapter 8, the freedom is through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So your mind should have references in it. Almost everything so far has been factual. Indicative in the mood of the Greek means put it in your mind, in your filing cabinet, and keep it secure. This is a truth that you base your life upon. So I have been justified by faith. In Romans chapter 5, that's a done deal. I've got that secure. I get into the future here, Romans chapter 6, or my Christian walk. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. That is factual. I count upon it. Brett Nasworth did a great job, and we had some others that are explaining it. You just write it down as true. In the ledger of your mind, this is a fact I will now base the rest of my human existence on earth upon. I don't need to debate it or argue it. God says it. I believe it. It's settled. It's in my mind. And now we get to 8. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To Scott, who is in Christ Jesus. Now it's factual. In what's interesting is Romans chapter 8 doesn't have a command in 1 through 11. They're all facts that I put into my mind and I believe. This is the flow. If you look at chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore. Okay, he's referring back to the last seven chapters, basically, and the immediate context, too. But then he just elaborates and elaborates. For, because, so then, but, and, but if. He's giving us one concept that he wants us to know. You're free in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit's power. And I want to take 11 verses, and I'd like to explain this to you, because otherwise you're going to end right back up on the mat again crying out, I want to quit. Right? Well, that's the way I get. I'm kind of pitiful. So here, you should know your flesh. My flesh goes into pity. If you read about Cain, he was rebuked of the Lord. He went into anger first. Am I my brother's keeper? Then he says, oh, this judgment is too hard for me. Pity and anger. You know, my flesh, normally pity. Others, maybe they jump into anger. Here's a summary of this passage. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Woohoo! If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, listen to this, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of God wants to give you the eternal life, the life of God, into this mortal body every day of your life. Doesn't that sound exciting? Where He takes you, you never know, but it's an exciting ride. Let's now go to our handout. And I would say to you folks who have received one of these booklets, review it. There's a lot of good information in here. Isn't the tendency, and I'm guilty of it, to walk away from here on Sunday afternoon and set it on the shelf and never pick it up? Then about, 11 and a half months later, before you come to the next conference, what was the lesson last year? Oh, Romans. Yeah, that was pretty helpful. I know, because I've done it too often. We used to tell the men in Myanmar, I can hear Pastor Pete over here, and I know Pastor Sean's been there, and others have been to Myanmar. We used to tell them, wear this booklet out. We took hours and hours and hours of preparation with these things, and we'd tell them, read them with your Bible open and wear this stuff out. And the men who followed it, they're still preaching the Word of God in Myanmar. It's exciting. Here we are, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Your freedom walk in Christ according to the Holy Spirit's power. That's the main message that he's trying to get here. You are now never condemned to live according to the sin nature's domination. I'd like to read verses 1 and 2 again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe that the second half of verse 1 has been added by future scribes. In the original text, I don't think it was there. It's a variant, textual variant. So in the manuscripts, there was some variant in the manuscripts. And it appears that from verse 4, this was taken up. So I'm going to read it without the second half of verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, had made me free from the law of sin and death. This is a declarative statement. This is a factual declaration. I have now been set free because of my position in Christ and because of the Holy Spirit's power. So your new position in Christ frees you from the sin nature's power over you. You may be a believer from 3 days ago. You are sitting in a position in Christ of freedom from that sin nature, the old sin nature. that has dominated you your entire life. You may be here 40-some years a believer in Christ. You are free from that sin nature. You may be an individual here who has just learned this for the first time this week. You are free from that sin nature's domination over you because of your position in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can write this down on the facts of your Christian existence and know I am not under the control or the domination of the sin nature. I do not have to. Why? Because of the cross of Christ. In Corinthians, they struggled with their Christian life. They had all sorts of sins in that church, and Paul addresses them. But he always is pointing them back to the gospel. First chapter, 15th chapter, and everywhere in between, because the victory is who you are in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit based on that new position in Christ. And the cross is the message. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So he was pointing those struggling Christians back to the cross where they had been born again. So this passage points us back to Jesus Christ and who we were saved by for justification and who we will be saved daily by his indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Is this absolute or is it conditional? Think about it for a second. Is this absolute? It's a declarative statement. It's absolute. Now, God told Adam, the day you eat, you shall die. He, or the Adamic race, was condemned to ever live in the flesh, the power of the flesh, from that sin in the garden. So there's no hope in man to have victory. However, God has also now declared for the believer in Christ no condemnation to ever live in the flesh. I don't have to live under that power source or under that domination of the sin nature. Why? Because I have been freed. That's what Romans 6, 1 through 14 is explaining. We died with Christ. That's what Galatians 2:20 explains. That's what Colossians 3, 1 through 4 explains. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I rose with Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. And everything in the past is now history for me. I'm a new creation in him. So we go back to this position and we realize that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, permanently freed you from the sin nature. Now again, there's no condemnation, no judgment against me to live according to the sinful domination of the flesh. Verse 2. Why? For. It gives us an explanation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He's saying freedom. Here's your freedom. Is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It has made me free. Past tense, the moment I was born again, I was now freed. It's interesting, the New King James says, has made me free. The ESV says, has set you free in Christ Jesus. So I can personally apply this and say, Scott Johnson, you have been set free from that domination. That's in my new position in Christ, the moment I was born again into Christ. Has or made me or set me free. I am now forever set free. I have freedom in Jesus Christ. Now you might say, you're being a little redundant, Scott. The emphasis in the scriptures is repeated and we don't get it very clearly. In fact, we look for a feeling in our Christian life oftentimes. You wake up in the morning, oh, I don't feel very good. Oh, my aches. And what do you focus on? Yourself. Now, I'm not trying to belittle your aches and pains or your life or your situation, but what I'm saying is we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a new creation in you today. We review. Several of the commentators that I read said, this needs to be a renewing perspective of us in our Christian walk. Go back to our reference point. I'm a new creation in Christ. I've been set free. I now have freedom in Christ. So we file it right there, and we're saying, freedom. Okay, I am free today. Not to be dominated. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm taking a step of faith in my new life in Christ, and you acknowledge him in all your ways. You're trusting him with your words and your decisions and your steps and your priorities. So here in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I'm going to explain that in just a second, this law of the Spirit of Christ. But let me diagram this. You've seen this before. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We had a Gibbs graduation yesterday afternoon. I told somebody, it was worth coming back from Alaska just for the Gibbs graduation. That was encouraging. And it was emphasized several times that God communicates through words and little things are important. Prepositional phrases are important. Here we have in Adam and in Christ. Those speak volumes to us as New Testament believers. We once were in Adam, but never again, because I am now in association, in union with Jesus Christ. That's a great place to have freedom. A great place to live our existence here on earth. But when I was born into this world, I was in Adam. I had a sin nature. I was dominated by sin. And the moment I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior in 1981, April 23rd, downtown Duluth, Minnesota, when Dennis Roxer showed me John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8-9, and he asked me, do you think you're going to heaven? I said, not a chance. I had hung out with Pete and Sean, and I knew I was sinners. It's funny, because I think there was 10 or 12 of us in that same graduating class at the high school who eventually got saved. It was wonderful. So the moment I believed, I was now born again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't feel it, though I felt the guilt go away. And I said, I got to tell this Derek guy. It was Dennis, but I didn't know his name. And when I drove home that night, or I rode home, I can remember my mind, I'm not telling anybody that I'm a Christian because I don't want to be a Jesus freak. Oh, well, some things you can't. Oh, stop. So in Christ Jesus is my new home, my new life, my new living. And Romans 5, 12 through 21, if you haven't understood this, it's great. Adam in Christ, in Adam in Christ, one man. And he says, you now, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You're living in abounding grace. And that new position in Christ, even though before it was dominated by sin, death, and condemnation, now it's grace, life, righteousness, and eternal life. And it is elaborated now again in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14, how to live that out. Walk in newness of life. That sin nature wants to dominate us, even though we're in Christ, because it's incipient in this body. And the new Holy Spirit in there, living in me, I know I'm kind of fast talking here. The Holy Spirit, though, He is the one who's going to give me the deliverance on a daily basis from the domination of the old sin nature. The truth is there. I have the freedom, but I have to learn to walk with Jesus Christ, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in areas where naturally I would normally disobey God and do my own thing in independence or indulge in my lusts. I have to learn, nope, I'm dead to that sin. I'm dead to my sin nature that wants to go there. I'm alive to you, Lord. I reckon upon it. I'm going to step out in your will by deliberate faith. And that becomes then a maturing factor in your life. It's a fighting the good fight of faith. Now, however you succeed or fail in your Christian walk, you will go to heaven. Once you're in Christ, you will go to heaven. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are now in the hand of God. He is protecting you. He says he doesn't lose anyone who are his. So there's all sorts of security verses, even in chapter 8, the end of chapter 8. I'm sure Pastor Jared will show that we are so secure in the love of Christ, you have nothing to fear eternally. That love, that grace should motivate us now to live this new life in Christ. But the battle is here. Sin nature, Holy Spirit. Sin nature, Holy Spirit. Sin nature, Holy Spirit. Sound like your Christian life? It's mine. Some days it's just, oh, you fight with this. Fight with this. Because naturally is our normal operating system. But supernaturally is the Holy Spirit. And so I must learn to walk with my Savior. I must learn to reckon myself dead. And if you're a proud bugger, it's tough. Because the Word of God is rebuking and reproving you on a regular basis. But if you're like Israelites, a stiff neck, and nobody's going to tell me anything, then you're going to have a tough Christian life. A soft, tender heart towards the Lord goes a long way. I get reproved and rebuked on a regular basis. My nephew talked to me about something I had said to him or done to him. I needed that, and I appreciated it. My wife on a regular basis, bless her soul. You know, I don't know how I ever lived until I got married. Now I know what to eat, how much to eat, when to eat it, what not to eat. I know when to go to bed, when to get... No, I'm just teasing. She loves me. She wants me to improve. But constantly we're getting mid-course corrections. Mid-course correction as we're flying our airplane of life, we're getting corrections from the Holy Spirit. He's going, Scott, you're off base and you're thinking right here. You're going according to your selfish lusts. You have friends. God uses unbelievers. He uses all sorts of things and just sticks a little knife in my heart and says, oh, Scott, you better repent right here. One of my favorite verses recently is out of Romans chapter 2. It says, the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. When I watch and see and enjoy and revel and worship the goodness of my God, oh, I just want His will. Leads me to repent and turn back to Him. So the battle is internal. It's daily. The victory is there. We reckon. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. But this is not a law system. It's a relationship with my Savior. The Mosaic law could not make me righteous. So when we see in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that is not the Mosaic law. At the end of the verse, the law of sin and death. What is it meaning then? It's a continuous operating principle. It's a fixed law. We've seen it throughout the even passage here. In verse 23 of chapter 7, it says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin is in my members. This fixed operating principle you can't avoid. We use it with the law of gravity, the law of aerodynamics. You're not going to make mass go up without some kind of force against gravity. It's a fixed operating principle. I wouldn't be standing on this pulpit. I'd be hovering over you guys, just talking right to you if we didn't have gravity, right? Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is very important. This is our victory right here. And Theodore Epp said this, a relative principle which exercises control over the life of the believer, a regulative principle. It's regulating my life. The Spirit of God in my new position in Christ is a fixed principle that if I can operate under that, I can live in continual victory in Christ Jesus. So I've kind of explained it this way. This operating principle, this fixed law, it's about the Spirit of life. Isn't that wonderful? It's not the spirit of death. That's in Adam. That's my old sin nature. This is the Spirit of life. You want to really live? Live in your new nature or your new position in Christ. In Christ Jesus. So here we've got two of the persons of the Godhead living within me, functioning and giving me what I stand in need of to live supernatural above this world. I tell you, it's the best place to live. I've tasted it. In fact, when you taste this for a period of time, and then you go back into that sin nature, it's like, pew! Whoa, that doesn't taste good. And then if you're humble, that's a big if, and it might not be true. If you're humble enough, you can repent and go back quickly to the Lord. I want that, Lord. That's what I want. I want that. You know, 37 years we celebrated last week. In our marriage. 37 years. You know what? Grace of God. And I'm a happily married man. Most days. I tell you, it's gotten sweeter and sweeter over the years. It is. And that's our walk with the Lord is the same thing. Because now I know Him better. And I know His Word better. And I know when I'm out of fellowship or sync or abiding with Him. And sometimes I'm humble enough to admit it. Otherwise, He's got to kind of take my nose and rub it in it a little bit. Then, oh, I don't like this, Lord. I want Your will be done. It's a battle. It really is. But I would much rather function in the new man than in the old man. And Elizabeth Carroll Johnson says, yeah. Because when one's out of fellowship in the home, it's ugly. When two are out of fellowship, it's volcanic. Look out. Now, how do sin and death go together? You got to see this. He says at the end of verse 2, I know we're going really fast, right? Of sin and death. Sin and death go hand in hand from the garden. The day you eat, you shall die. The day you sin, you shall die, is what God said. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Romans 5:12. They go hand in hand. So the sin nature is death. Every time you function under that sin nature, it brings on death. Separation from fellowship with your God. Separation from practical righteousness in your life. You're a functioning dead man. Woo, that's ugly. Now, Romans 6:21. What fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? What sins? What behaviors? The end of those are the things of death. Romans 6:23. You're going to pay for sin every time, and it's going to be a payment of death. We use this verse in witnessing for eternal life. You can have eternal life, but your sin brings death, and it's going to result in judgment from God. There's a wage or a payment, and Christ paid for that. But every day I go back to that, I'm going to pay with death. And when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. So don't deceive yourself, my friends. Don't deceive yourself. You can get away with it in the flesh. You can get away with it being out of fellowship with the Lord. It's simply death. Now, you can have a Christian veneer, and we can pretend, or we can go through the motions, or we can talk the Christian talk and work hard to walk the Christian walk, but when it's not reality, God says that's death. And I've done it. Haven't you? We don't want to face ourselves, or we're ignorant. You know, sometimes I'm just plain out of fellowship and I don't realize it till it gets manifested. So now let's go to chapter 8, verse 3. Another very important passage. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. The law could not bring righteousness. It couldn't with Israel. It couldn't in the early church when they battled whether it was grace or law. Using that illustration of Acts 15. A law system does not produce righteousness. All religious systems of the world are law systems. That's the human mind defaults to a law-based system. Right and wrong. Or as Kurt Witzig says, do good, get goodies. That's the effort that we put forth. And if you analyze every religious denomination or system, it's based on a do's and don'ts system. Only God's grace in Jesus Christ can make us righteous in standing. That's who we are before God in Christ, and righteous in our life, our walk. Romans 3:20 says this and following, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The more laws you make, the more sin. Where the law entered, sin abounded. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's not law, it's grace, and it's by faith in Jesus Christ, and He does it. We had a couple of law-based individuals come by the mission this summer in early May. They were J1 students. They were working. It was their first day in town. And by the grace of God, I think I was in fellowship. I opened the front door, and there's two ladies walking right on the sidewalk, which is about six steps from the door. And I happened to be happy that day. I had a big smile on my face. I opened the door, and there they were looking right up. And I go, hello! And they go, hello! And I said, oh, are you working the summer here in Seward? Yes, yes. I said, oh, very good. And what country are you from? Oh, we're from Thailand. Really? We have a woman here who speaks Thai right inside. You need to come in and meet her. Pensary, get out here. One of our volunteers is a Thai speaker who has been born again, lived in Alaska for many years. She rushes to the front door, and out from her mouth, she speaks in tongues. And the faces on those young ladies lit up. Now, this is the providence of God. He loves those two girls so much that He brought them by with groceries on the first day in Seward. And He put me there, and He put Pensary there, and we had them for dinner. 45 minutes later, she said, come back, we got dinner ready, you must come and eat. Here's the ladies. We're sitting at the table, and we're helping talk English with them, and we're warming them up, and, in their conversation and friendly love of Jesus Christ, and she starts speaking Thai to them, and I said, Pensary, you shouldn't speak Thai to them, you should speak English so their English improves. And she looks at me, and she says, I told them, if they don't know where they're going to go when they die, Pastor Scott here will explain to them how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. Oh, well, keep talking. They warmed up to the love of Christ. They warmed up to the food that Pensary had brought, and they responded to the inquiry, wrote down the chronological view, took me about a little over an hour, and she would translate on concepts and stuff, and we think both of them trusted Christ by the end of that conversation. Just amazing. They went from a Buddhist law-based system into Christianity, which is grace, and we emphasize grace. And one of them said, one of my teachers, I think she said math teachers in Thailand had talked to me about these things before. The other one had not. So Jesus Christ came as a man and condemned the sin nature. If you look here, on account of sin. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't sinful, but he was a man. He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. Philippians chapter 2 says he came as a servant, humbled himself on account of sin, for sin. He came to crucify and to die for our sins so that we now have freedom from that bondage and that condemnation. So he goes right to the gospel in verse 3 here and says, it was at the cross he took care of our sin and the sin nature. He condemns sin in the flesh. Now we've seen over and over again the sin. The sin nature in the flesh. He condemned that. The cross gives us victory over that sin nature. So we go back right to the gospel to see our victory here in verse 3. It's amazing. The glorious gospel. You know, when you sing, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. We should be reveling. And I would encourage you to ask the Lord to open doors where you can share this message to your neighbors. In the grocery line, wherever. Be a Jesus freak, huh? I'm telling you, there are hungry hearts out there. We've been going through COVID. People don't have answers. They're killing themselves. We heard about the other day. They're cutting themselves. They don't have answers. We have the cookies. We want to share it with them. That glorious message of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. I am amazed at how quickly people can get born again. When I went to that Bible study 41 years ago, I didn't go to get born again. I followed a blonde. When I got there, I got the gospel. And it's never been the same. Now, Jesus Christ is our object. That gospel. So here he's saying it's the cross. God's righteousness is fulfilled in us when we walk according to the Spirit. See, the law could not be fulfilled as far as producing righteousness because of the weakness of our flesh. So God came to live within us in the person of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. He's living in me in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he fulfills the righteous requirements of the law when we walk by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now we're switching right here. How is this going to practically work in me? It's in your daily thinking. So if we jumped ahead to Romans chapter 12, we could see we need the renewing of our minds by the Word of God, the transforming of our minds by the Word of God, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the real key here is the mindset or the thinking, and it determines your controlling power. It's very simple in principle. God has made it simple in principle so that we can follow it or walk in it every single day. The sin nature, the lust of the flesh, the world system, Satan's temptations, a law-based natural viewpoint in our human nature has a tendency to confuse us, frustrate us, make us give up or become proud because we think we're succeeding. But look at verse 5, please. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's a mindset. It's a perspective. That's why coming to this conference, I rejoice that you are learning verse by verse, a passage of Scripture that can give you victory. We teach this section of Scripture all over the world. Romans 1 through 5 and then Romans 6 through 8. It's been taught all over the world in other countries. Why? Because this is the basis by which we're going to every day have victory. And the people who have called themselves Christians for years hear this truth and they say, I've never understood this in my life. And you and I have a tendency to forget it or not operate under it. But you go back to the operating system of the divine. It's according to the Spirit, and we set or we anchor or we put our minds according to it. It's present tense, never stop having this mindset. I must choose it, active voice, and it's a fact. Can't get away from it. It's either the flesh or it's the spirit. So these are our two options. Why? There is no other option. The flesh is what we were born first into. The spirit is what we were born again into. The spirit of God is our power source after we're born again. And that flesh just keeps coming up, doesn't it? He or it, the sin nature, is there all day, every day. That's why the real victory is I'm dead to that sin nature. I think Brett did a fine job when he said, it's not making it's dead. It's not dead to me. It's still alive, that sin nature, as far as its activity. But I am dead to it. I have died completely to that old way. That old man before Christ in 6:6 of Romans, that's gone. I've got a new life in him. Yet the sin nature is there all the time. We're just hugging and kissing ourselves. We victimize ourselves. We just love ourselves, don't we? That's not the problem. The problem is walking by faith in the Son of God, allowing our minds to be renewed. And so it's a set perspective. Here's kind of what I summarize for the next 7 verses here. Okay? This is the whole section summarized, either the flesh or the spirit. That's what he's saying from 5 to 11. He's saying you got two alternatives, and I want to delineate. I want to explain. I want to dissect this. I want you to understand this so you don't go back crying out every day, who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Instead, he says, you got two options, my friend, my child. Those who live on the left-hand side according to the flesh, look at this list, set their minds on the things of the flesh. You're totally wrapped up with this world. Carnally minded, what's it going to be? Death. When you see that is right there, it's a verb of being, you can put an equal sign. Every time I'm carnally minded, it equals death. The carnal mind is enmity against God. I go right to the other team when I'm carnally minded. I am now against God. In my thought patterns, even though I might look good to all the Christians around here, but if I'm carnally minded and I'm just pretending, performing, I like that last night, performance-based Christianity, you don't want that. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The sin nature will not subject itself to God's will. Those in the flesh cannot please God. Whoa, what a list. Now, if you want to live that way, go ahead, be a phony Christian. I don't want that. I don't. I lived that way for 20-some years, and I go back there on a too often basis. Those on the right-hand side who live according to the flesh, here's your second option. Those who live according to, by means of the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To be spiritually minded, you've got life and peace. Spiritually minded equals life and peace. Spirit of God dwells in you. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's this functional way that the Spirit is giving me life, and He's keeping the sin nature in a place of death when I'm spiritually minded. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Again, Christ, God, and the Spirit, all involved in giving me this victory in Jesus Christ. So we go back to this battle, right? Sin nature, Holy Spirit. Sin nature, Holy Spirit. I got two options. He's telling us how to have victory in Christ. Now I'm going to speed up here. I know I'm running late. So your thinking results in significant consequences. Your thinking results in significant consequences. We just had some of those, but just to list them, you know, you've got two options, death or life and peace. When I came to this conclusion, it was about a dozen years ago, maybe 20 years ago. It's like, those are my options? I'll take life and peace any day. But to learn to walk with Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit takes time. Takes a lot of reckoning. Boy, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. Oh, I'm dead to that. Oh, man, I'm so bitter today. That guy cut me off. I'm so, oh, that person ticks me off. Oh, I'm lusting for this. You know? enmity against God, I go to the other team. Rebellion against God, I cannot please God in the flesh. Not one ounce, not one moment, not one fraction of a second when I'm out of fellowship can I please God. That's pretty absolute, isn't it? So we come to a conclusion in the filing cabinet of our brain. Either I go to the flesh or I live according to the Spirit. And the natural default must be overcome through the supernatural means of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's worth it, my friends. Learn this well. If you had told me I'd be a director and a pastor in Alaska 40-some years ago, the night I got saved, I would have said, you're nuts. I just started UMD and I had to take remedial reading because I can't even read. It was embarrassing. High school was a playtime for me, and I'm ashamed of it, and it's affected me ever since. But by the grace of God, you overcome these things in freedom. I have complete freedom in Jesus Christ. That's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that a spiritual believer walks every day. So we got Peter, Jonah, Daniel, Joseph, King Saul, individuals who battled with this sin nature. And when they turned to the Lord, they had victory. Others would not turn to the Lord. I don't want to be a Jonah. I don't want to be a King Saul. I'd rather be a Joseph, a Daniel, a Peter. I fail, but I keep turning to the Lord. So do you ever think, I want to please God? Now, I know I haven't explained the verses piece by piece here. I'm going to let you do that. But you get to verse 8 and he says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, we always say, without faith it's impossible to please God. How about if we quote this one? Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You live according to the flesh, you cannot please God. Not one second of your day are you pleasing God. That's not a good place to be, my friend. And I don't want to be there, but I keep going there. Why? Because I am a human being, and I struggle with that flesh. But when we fight the good fight of faith, we turn to our Savior, we quickly admit, we walk by faith in the Son of God, then we can have His will be done in our lives. It's exciting. Oh, is it exciting to all of a sudden step out on the street, and that's just one story from this past summer. You step out on the street, there's two women from Thailand that God snatched from the uttermost parts of the earth, brought them to Seward, He brought them at the right time, and He says, Scott, witness to them. They are open. I didn't know that, but I was that day living by faith, thankfully. Let's keep moving. The indwelling Holy Spirit makes you spiritually controlled. He says here in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. The moment the indwelling Spirit, or the Spirit of God indwells you at the point of salvation, you can be spiritually controlled then for the rest of your human life. Now again, we know it's a battle, but it's the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been saved, how long you've been out of fellowship. You can turn back to the Lord and admit it, and He can restore you to fellowship, and you take one step of faith right there. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of Him dwells in you. His Spirit who dwells in you. We see this indwelling. So we're going back to the Spirit of God as the reference point to how we're going to have victory. And every believer has the Spirit of Christ because they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Now, I'm not going to go over these verses. I'm running behind. But 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19, 2 Timothy 1:14 all emphasize that you have the Holy Spirit the moment you're born again. So we go back to the ministries of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me because He's indwelt me by His Holy Spirit, and I'm going to live by faith in Him, in my Savior. And He empowers me because I walk by means of the Spirit. So this daily life and power come to you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come through self-effort. We heard that in the last messages. It doesn't come through discipline, or we've been joking, or rubber bands, right? Now, we live in a country that emphasizes hard work. Now, there's labor in the Lord. He works in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. He's working. He's giving us. So we fight the good fight of faith, but it's the Holy Spirit's power. So I turn to Him when I'm frustrated. I turn to the Lord when I'm weak. I turn to the Lord when I'm rejoicing and everything is going well. I wanted to go to Galatians 5:16-25, but we don't have time. But there He says, the spirit and the flesh lust against each other. And if you don't get over that battle, you're not going to be able to do the things that you do. And He lists these sins so you can say, I'm in the flesh. Now, some days I don't know. Am I walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh? At those points, I just turn to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm trusting You right here. You nurture that relationship. When you're all alone with the Lord, Lord, I trust You here. Lord, I confess today that I've been really independent and I shouldn't be. And Lord, I just want Your will to be done. You nurture that new man. You nurture that desire to please God by fellowshipping with Him and speaking to Him directly in active voice, saying, Lord, I want Your will. I want Your will. I want Your will. And I need some verses, Lord, some vitamins, spiritual vitamins. You live in this freedom by faith in the Son of God. Lord, thank You. Do you ever listen to prayers where people are praying for things the Lord promises all over the Word of God? Don't do that. Thanks, Lord, for victory. Thank You, You have given me the victory today in Your Son. Thank You that victory is by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, I'm going to step out today because You are giving me that victory. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give, look at that, also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He wants to give you His life and power through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. That's that life-giving Spirit that is in the new man as we walk in newness of life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. And I summarize it this way. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's Romans 6. Woo-hoo! I'm a new creation in Christ. Christ is living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, there's the battle. This life that I now live in the flesh, Romans 7. The victory. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That love of Christ compels me. So we can stand in victory every day by the grace of God, in our new man. Isn't this wonderful? I mean, I lived that old death-life existence. I wanted to take my life at 19, 18. I couldn't see why in the world am I alive here on earth. And now, in Christ, we have a reason to exist. And now it'll go on for all eternity. So that the fellowship I have today with my Savior can continue on throughout life and just transfer right on in the rapture up into heaven with Him forever. Would you please bow with me? Whoa, Lord, what a passage. Thank You for this section of Scripture. Thank You for explaining it to us. And thank You for the victory in our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we learn more and more to walk in newness of life. We praise You for finishing the work on the cross. Sanctification is finished, Lord. I just have to bank on it, and I just thank You for that. Thank You for these dear brothers and sisters. Thank You for the Duluth Bible Church. May they continue strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And our dear Pastor Roxer down in Georgia, we do pray for him. Transition down there and all that goes on down there. Enable them, and even with evangelism at the fair going on, starting, I believe, today, You would guide and direct. Thanks, Lord. You are awesome. You are awesome. We love You and thank You for the new life victory in Thee. Amen.